You're watching DW News live from Berlin, honoring the lives lost to the pandemic. Germany remembers its nearly 80,000 victims of COVID-19. Leading a commemorative service, the German president described the pandemic as a dark time that has left deep wounds. Also coming up, one of the world's largest icebergs is reduced to chunks. Satellite footage shows its massive bulk has split into smaller fragments. We ask a scientist about the implications for the planet's future. Hi, I'm Eddie Micah Jr., and you are welcome to the program. It's been a day of remembrance here in Germany to pay tribute to the almost 80,000 people who have died of COVID-19 since the pandemic hit the country. The commemorative service was led by German President Frank-Walter Steinmeier in central Berlin. It was, he said, a chance to say goodbye in dignity to those lost to COVID-19, many of whom died alone and without their families because of coronavirus restrictions.
The first person in Germany to test positive for the coronavirus was in late January 2020. Since then, as in most of the rest of the world, life has been put on hold in Germany, and tens of thousands of families left to mourn lost loved ones. The National Requiem provided a moment for Germany to pause and reflect on those who had either died because of the virus or had passed away, separated from their families due to pandemic restrictions.
Today we're focusing not on numbers and statistics, but on the people that we've lost, for all of their differences and the different ways in which they lived. They're all missed by their families and friends, by their neighbors and their colleagues, by our society. None of them will come back, but they remain in our memories. We will not forget them.
Only a few people could attend the Requiem due to social distancing rules. They included Chancellor Angela Merkel, as well as relatives of people who had died during the pandemic. Most of the ceremony was given over to them and their poignant stories.
Eight days of worrying, of waiting, waiting for the doctor to call me every day, hoping for a miracle, praying that my worst fears would not come true. My worst fears came true. On the 14th of April, I was allowed to go to the ICU to my husband when it was clear that medicine could do nothing more for him.
Germany's President Frank-Walter Steinmeier spoke of hope during the ceremony. Germany was able to keep rates of infection down in the initial phase of the pandemic due to lockdown measures and social distancing. But numbers started to rise last autumn, and now the country is battling a third wave. Steinmeier said by remaining united and caring for each other, the pandemic will pass by. Words of encouragement for a nation, like so many others around the world, that is grieving for all those lost to the coronavirus.
And with me in the studio is our political correspondent, Hans Brandt. Now, Hans, it was definitely very emotional. Where can we start? How touching was it to hear from family members of those who had lost loved ones?
Well, yes, that was, I think, the point of the ceremony. Although the president obviously spoke a eulogy, it was meant to be a service or a commemoration event for the victims and their families. And they were from a very wide spectrum. Obviously, that was the way that they were chosen, also the way that they were picked. There was a woman who lost her disabled young daughter to COVID-19. There was the wife of a doctor who ran a hospital and in his own hospital presumably caught the virus and then died. There was also the daughter of a Turkish immigrant who made his family life here in Germany. And the daughter, very young daughter, of a man who was very young when he died, but did not die of COVID-19. He died of leukemia, of cancer of the blood, but also died basically on his own, alone, because of the restrictions. And finally, there was the son of a woman who was in a care home because she was suffering from dementia. And she, too, was, in a sense, left alone because her family was not able to see her during that time. Mm.
Is there a reason for the timing of this service? Why now?
There is no exact reason. There has been some debate about this, in fact. Some people have said the commemoration should have happened a lot earlier. Other countries have had similar events before. Some people say we should be commemorating victims continuously because people continue to die and we should not ignore that. The president himself has said it's now been a year or just over a year since the pandemic struck. We cannot wait for the pandemic to end to do this commemoration because we don't know when it will end. And so he's saying it's a moment to stand back and to, in a sense, commemorate, but also to gather our strength for the new continuing infections, the continuing, the third wave, as we're talking about it at the moment, of this pandemic.
Now, sticking to that, looking ahead, Germany, as you rightly said, is in the grip of a third wave with record new infections in recent days. What is the government proposing to do?
There's been a lot of dispute about what is the right way to go, and this dispute has been, in fact, going on for months. Mainly, it's the central government of Angela Merkel, the chancellor, on one hand, and on the other side, the 16 federal states and their leaders, who, in fact, have the power to decide what happens in their regions. And while Angela Merkel has always been for stricter measures, the regional leaders have resisted that, and that continues to this day. At the moment, there are discussions about imposing a central government lockdown. A new law is likely to be passed for that in this coming week, but there's still resistance from the regions, so it's not quite clear to what extent Angela Merkel is able to push through what she really would like to do, a hard lockdown.
I guess only time will tell. DW's political correspondent Hans Brandt, thank you. Let's take a look at other stories making headlines around the world. A passenger train has derailed north of Cairo, injuring around 100 people. Eight carriages ran off the railway in the city of Banna, authorities said. The train was traveling to the Nile Delta city of Mansoura from the Egyptian capital. Security forces in Myanmar have dispersed hundreds of protesters in the southern city of Dawe. Meanwhile, a newly formed government of national unity has urged Southeast Asian leaders to give it a seat at crisis talks, that's next week, and not to recognize the military junta that seized power in a February coup. The Philippines is bracing for floods and landslides as Superstorm Sirigay edges closer to its shores. Its peak wind is clocking more than 300 kilometers an hour. It is the strongest super typhoon ever observed in the Western Pacific so early in the calendar year. The Czech Republic says it's expelling 18 Russian diplomats. The move comes over suspicions that Russian intelligence services were involved in an explosion at an ammunition depot in 2014 that killed two people. Moscow, in turn, has accused Prague of engaging in tricks and says there will be diplomatic consequences. Now, scientists say one of the world's largest icebergs has melted away. The so-called A68 had a surface area of nearly 6,000 square kilometers and weighed approximately 1 billion tons after it broke away from Antarctica. That was in 2017. Its drift towards the island of South Georgia in the southern Atlantic raised fears for wildlife there. But satellites show the formation is now virtually gone, broken into countless small fragments. I'm now joined by Hugh Griffiths. He's a marine biogeographer who's conducted research on iceberg A68. Now, we just saw some pretty dramatic pictures of the iceberg melting. Can you tell us a bit more about its life and times?
Well, this iceberg was one of the biggest that we've ever tracked or known about. and like twice the size of Luxembourg, but it started its life as part of a giant floating ice shelf, so freshwater ice that's been pushed off the land and starts to float in the sea. And eventually the ends break off and float off as what we call icebergs. And this one broke off, and it was about 12% of the ice shelf broke off in one huge chunk and didn't really move for a while. And then after about a year, it started heading northwards, and it then made its way up what we call Iceberg Alley, an area of the ocean where a lot of icebergs travel through, and up towards South Georgia. And it did look for a while as if it might threaten some of the wildlife and the habitat up there, because it's such a huge iceberg, nearly as big as the whole island. But luckily, the currents took it just south of the island, and the rough seas and warmer water around there really started to break it up. But we were surprised it lasted as long as it did. It stayed for over 2 years of this traveling without breaking up, and eventually broke up into smaller pieces, and those pieces just melted away.
Can we say that it melted because of global warming?
No. The icebergs melt just because of the action of the ocean, but also the water, the warmer water that they're moving into that is naturally warmer. But we also know that the ice shelves that the icebergs come off might be in danger from global warming. So this was Larsen C that it came off, but there used to be a Larsen A and a Larsen B, two smaller ice shelves further north. And both of them disintegrated within my lifetime. And they have been linked to the actions of climate change. So although Larsen C at the moment we think is fairly stable, actually in the future it's been predicted to be one of the hotspots for the influence of climate change and could be one of the places that could go next.
Okay, Hugh Griffiths in Cambridge, thank you.
Thank you.
Now, in the Bundesliga, Bayern Munich have released a statement criticising their coach Hansi Flick after he publicly stated he wants to leave the club in the summer. Flick made the announcement after Bayern secured another crucial victory in the Bundesliga. Erik Maxim Choupo-Moting was among the scorers as they beat high-flying Wolfsburg on Saturday. Flick's side are now 7 points clear of challengers Leipzig, with 5 games remaining. Now, retaining the Bundesliga title would give Flick his 7th trophy in 18 months at Bayern. But the club's statement is another sign of tensions behind the scenes that have brought his tenure to a premature end.
Hansi Flick led Bayern to one of their most successful seasons ever. Last August's Champions League triumph crowned a campaign in which the Bavarians also retained the Bundesliga title and won the German Cup. But things have unravelled in recent months. Flick's comments in press conferences have fed speculation of a rift with the club's sporting director, Hasan Salihamidžić. And now he's confirmed that he feels it's time to move on.
I told the club this week that I'd like to cancel my contract at the end of the season. It's one of those times in life when you think about things and ask yourself which path you want to take.
The following day, fans expressed disappointment that Flick intends to leave the club after just 18 trophy-laden months.
It's very sad. They had a great coach, and to be honest, I think they should get rid of Salihamidžić too now. Because to be honest, the coach is so much more important than the sporting director. Hansi Flick can do whatever he wants. He did everything right. He won so many titles despite a very difficult personnel situation.
Now Bayern's executive board has released a statement saying they disapprove of Flick making the news public, with the team facing 2 crucial games in the coming week. Bayern are well on course to win their 2nd Bundesliga title under Flick, but the latest developments suggest a marriage that seemed to be made in heaven is set to end in a messy divorce.
You're watching DW News. I am Eddie Micah Jr. From me and the entire team, thanks for watching.